This is Delaney, and I own and operate Made for More Productions, located in Orlando, Florida, and you are listening to Small Biz Florida from the Florida SBDC at Indian River State College.
This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast and broadcast. It's all things business across the state of Florida. And as you have been hearing, if you've been tuning in to the recent segments and episodes, we are coming to you from the 10th Annual Small Business Leadership Conference right here at the JW Marriott in beautiful Orlando. Small Business Leadership Conference is put together and deployed by the Jim Moran Institute at Florida State University. And we are just happy to be part of this incredible small business training event. And let me tell you, the lineup of speakers has been nothing less than totally and thoroughly impressive. And we have been fortunate enough on Small Biz Florida to feature a lot of the speakers. So hopefully you have enjoyed hearing what's going on here at the conference. And let me tell you, have probably one of the most dynamic speakers of the conference so far on with us right now. It is Miss Amanda Brinkman. Welcome to Small Biz Florida, Amanda.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
And I have with us our executive producer of Small Biz Florida, our very own Katie Muldoon, who joins me today on this segment as a guest host. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you. I'm excited for the segment.
I know. So am I. You do have a couple hours, right, Amanda?
Right. Let's do it. Yes. I'm just going to sit back. All right. Does the beer come, though?
Comes at 5:30.
Okay.
Right. But, you know, I guess the old saying is it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's
right?
True.
That's right.
I live by that.
Listen, Amanda, thank you so much. I know you're busy and you are an in-demand presenter. As you walked up, there was like people following you, wanting to get photographs and things. So We do appreciate you taking time to spend with us here on Small Biz Florida. Amanda is the creator, producer, and host of the hit series Small Business Revolution, which streams on Hulu and Prime Video and was named among Inc. Magazine's top shows for entrepreneurs. Now in production for their sixth season, each year the Small Business Revolution revitalizes a different community's main street through small business makeovers. Every episode, they help the entrepreneur with marketing, finance, operations, and physical transformations of their space. It is a great program, Amanda, and you are dead in the middle of what we do here at the SBDC, which is provide assistance to small business owners and operators. So thank you for all the work you do.
Well, thank you for what you do. You know, it was interesting. After my talk, I was talking to a woman who runs a local chamber of commerce, and we were just talking about how I think small businesses have a renewed appreciation for associations and organizations that are in the business of helping their business.
Right.
And I think, you know, before COVID, sometimes small businesses didn't necessarily understand the full value of organizations like yours or chambers or business associations. And I think coming out of 2020, I think it became very obvious to them why you need that infrastructure and those resources. So thank you for what you do. I mean, small businesses need that kind of, resource pool and knowing an organization cares about their success exists for their success.
Yes. And I don't want to take away time from talking about what you do, but you bring up an interesting point, and I'll make this point quickly. But I tell folks all the time, it took me getting to Indian River State College to get around smarter people than I was when I owned and operated my business to understand a very basic concept in business, that there's time to work in the business and there's time to work on the business. And I think you hit on that point, that small business owners now realize we have to take some time to work on this business to make it through these ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
It's very fair, yeah. And I think you're right. I think we also noticed a renewed sense of focus coming out of last year that was actually probably a healthy cleansing. It felt very, very painful for businesses of all sizes, for sure. But maybe one of the silver linings, as we call them, was that it forced businesses to really think through what they were spending their time on. It's right. very easy as a business owner to start almost doing whack-a-mole. You're either focusing on the parts of the business that are the most demanding
right.
and then not taking a step back and thinking strategically about the future, or you're starting to get into all these different areas because it's tempting or fun or there might be an opportunity there.
Right.
But 2020 just focused... forced a focus, and it's like, what are we actually, you know, the most profitable doing?
Oh,
what are we? What's core to our business?
Right.
How do we operationally make this more efficient? And that forced decisions, I think, are actually going to benefit businesses longer term. It's not always about growth; it's about profitability.
Right. Oh my gosh. I think you've just summed up the whole podcast episode here.
She did. We can conclude.
Yeah, we can conclude. You hit the, what are the four most important things? And I think you just talked about them. That is excellent. Let's get right into the what you do, the show and the rebuilding of Main Street. And of course, I love the whole concept of Main Street. Talk a little bit about that whole project that you work on.
Yeah, so the Small Business Revolution is, thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. So the Small Business Revolution is a show where each season we revitalize a different community's Main Street through its small businesses. So it is essentially a small business makeover show, but done with heart. It's an unscripted reality show. It's on Hulu and Prime Video. It also streams online for free at smallbusinessrevolution.org. But essentially, each episode, you hear the story of an incredible small business. You hear about why they started their business. You really fall in love with them as real people running real businesses in real communities. And then we walk alongside them throughout the episode, helping them with things like marketing makeovers, marketing plans, the finances, operational shifts. And so it's a little unprecedented for the unscripted category, the way we film the show. It's very cinematic because the real point and thesis of the whole show is to show the small business owners as the heroes we believe they are. And it's why we do it. To us, it's much more than a television show.
Right.
It's critically acclaimed. It's won tons of awards. But that's not why we do it. We do it because we think that when you hear a real small business owner's story, you put a face to a business and you can inspire people to understand the importance of supporting small businesses. So that's the real mission behind the show. It's more than a show. It's a movement. We're trying to really get more people to recognize that there's power in their dollars, and supporting small businesses is a crucial part of commerce in your community.
Wow. I mean, Amanda, that really is some high-level thinking. I mean, and that those are high-level concepts that they are difficult. I mean, those are difficult. You know, those are campaigns that are won over years trying to get people to understand the importance of those small business owners and operators, because it is so easy today to go to the big box store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that a fair assessment of kind of the issue?
It sure is, and that's what we try to prove through the show, that yes, people love the ease and convenience of a big brand, but they genuinely want to support a small business. We're especially seeing that's another after effect of 2020. People want to support brands with a purpose. However, you need to deliver on that same ease for your customers. You're asking a lot of them, for them to maybe pay a little bit more of a premium to support
right.
you because you don't have volume or scale to get that same kind of pricing. Most people are willing to do that, but what they're not willing to do is like throw away the convenience that we all were kind of forced
right.
into over the last year. So
right.
that's what we love to do, is like to prove that through technology, through marketing, you can reward your customers with that same experience.
Wow. Yeah.
It shouldn't just be only for Amazon, or I shouldn't name names. That shouldn't be only for the big online mass retailers
right.
or the big box stores. Small businesses can have that too, but you
right.
have to be purposeful about it and focus on building that out for your customers.
Right. So through six seasons, I mean, no one has better insight than you. I mean, what are the greatest challenges for these, what we call the mom and pop, the small business? We call them SMEs, small to medium-sized enterprises. What are their greatest challenges?
Trying to wear all the hats. So I'll go through. So trying to wear all the hats, not necessarily understanding how to use marketing to grow their business,
right.
struggling with the numbers, and then really thinking through the strategic focus or long-term goals of the business. And so, do you want to pause? Or
no,
keep going?
No,
keep
good,
going? Okay.
All
right. we got a little moving truck right here. This is great. We're seeing the conference up close
listen,
and personal.
That's right. We're
when
live.
He said live,
from the
he meant live.
That's right.
All right. So the first one, trying to wear all the hats. I think because you own the business and because you started it, you feel like if you can figure it out, you should do all the things. You should manage the website. You should clean the bathrooms. You should, answer the phones. But you should do the accounting. And it seems like a luxury to spend money on someone else helping you with those things, but you really can't afford not to get back to doing what you're best at. You need to focus on where your time is best spent to truly grow the business.
Right.
Are you the best at sales? Are you the best at customer relationships? Is it the technology? Is it the marketing? The luxury should be that because you've started the business, you get to pick which job you want, not do all of them.
Right.
And
wow.
Then you're like, you know, you're, what is that called? Jack of all trades, master of none.
None. Right.
And so thinking about that, and then the same thing that comes down to both marketing and finances, people don't expect that because you started your business, you know how to figure out SEO on your website or manage your social media, but there are partners, there's interns, there's companies you can hire to do those things. So making sure that that job is assigned to someone, though. And same thing with finances. I think sometimes business owners aren't taking a close enough look at what those numbers are telling them about the business. Right. And then the fourth is really just not thinking about where are we actually headed. Sometimes you can be so like tunnel focused, head down. It's like you got to every once in a while pull up and look at the horizon. And the direction can change, but only if you're looking up every once in a while, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, and I think you touch on a very timely topic too, and something that I kind of believe at this point. You can tell me if I'm on the right track, but I kind of felt like at this point, you're almost looking at the 2.0 version now. You maybe you had to pivot. Maybe you had to change the business model. So now we go back and we look what worked, what didn't work. What, mm-hmm. So I think now's the absolute perfect time to do a strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
Stop, take a day, mm-hmm. bring your mm-hmm. team members in, and let's talk about where have we been, what did we do,
mm-hmm.
and where are we going with this business? Talk mm-hmm. a little bit about strategic planning and how a small business can really leverage that concept.
Yeah, the great thing about a small business is that you have a constant cycle of consumer insights in a way that big businesses have entire departments to track this data, but it's just not as tangible. When you're a small business owner, like, you know what's working and not with your customers most times. And so how are you helping that inform the direction of the business? How are you using, I mean, when you really think about it, it's like, as you're planning out the business, it shouldn't just be thinking about where can we make the most money, but it should also be like, what do our customers need and what's a need that we can fulfill? And I think that was part of one of the lessons of the past year too, is that customers right now have a lot of appetite for what small businesses have been going through. They have a lot of appetite for patience, is what I should say. And so there is nothing wrong with going out and pulling your customers and saying, we're thinking about adding milkshakes. What would you think about that? And if so, what's your favorite flavor? Like, right. It used to be like, as a business, you had to have this posture, like you had it all figured out. And now it's like customers want to be led into that. And that's the advantage that small business can do that. So I think, one, don't be afraid to kind of ask your customers. It doesn't have to be in social media if that's too public for you, but seek customer insight. And then two, you know, really think through, like, they do have patience for it right now. We saw it last year too. Like, if you're struggling with curbside pickup or you're struggling with the cart experience in your site, just name it, just say it. And then and then people will be like, oh yeah, I'm sure this has been hard. You know, they have latitude for small businesses
a lot of small business empathy right now.
Talk
to us about your connection to the Small Business Leadership Conference, JMI, and what brought you here, and what did you present on?
Today I just shared some insights. Well, first of all, I love this conference, and I love this institute. I think I think small businesses that take advantage seems like the wrong word, but take the opportunity to learn from experts and peers. It's one of the best investments you can make. And I think, again, small businesses sometimes think that conferences are like just something that big corporate employees get to go to.
Right.
It's like, no, there's so many incredible learning opportunities right in front of you. And what a great place to just be amongst your peers, learning, you know, sharing what we were just talking about. Like, I've been struggling with this. Am I alone? No, I have too. Here's how we solve for it. How are you thinking about solving for it? And just learning from each other. So I was happy to come and share some of the insights that we've picked up over the years and working with small businesses across the country. And it's been really rewarding to be back live in front of real people and certainly so many inspiring entrepreneurs and sharing what we've learned on the Small Business Revolution.
Yeah.
That's such a great point and so beautifully put, too, by the way. Just going back to talk a little bit about your experiences with the Main Street program. You know, Tom and I are both heavily involved with our own Treasure Coast Main Street programs. What are your experiences with Florida, with businesses in our area?
Well, I feel like Florida had some advantages last year where I think just the state was approaching COVID and safety a bit differently. And you actually had, that would actually for some tourists, was a tourism draw. People wanted to go to a part of the country that didn't feel as locked down. And no matter how anyone feels about whether that was right or wrong, either way, from a business opportunity perspective, there's a real advantage to the fact that that was something different than what people were experiencing in other parts of the country. So I was pretty impressed with how businesses, we actually came down to Florida a few months ago, and people were, the nation was still very much kind of in COVID times, and it was really remarkable to see how there were so many safety protocols, but it didn't feel like you were being inhibited as a consumer. It was a lot of the businesses really figured out a way to keep their staff safe, to keep their customers safe, but again, not in a way that suddenly felt like you walked into a desolate restaurant or there wasn't something fun. So I really commend the Florida small businesses for figuring out, how do we do both? How do we keep people safe, but also stay open for business?
That's good insight.
Couldn't agree more.
Talk to us about, obviously, we are we're based at a state college. We have a new president who has a great emphasis on entrepreneurship and specifically student entrepreneurship. You're dealing with those that have kind of made the leap into small business ownership. But let's go back a level and talk about young entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. What is that space like, and what's your advice for those young entrepreneurs?
Well, I love how many young entrepreneurs we're seeing. Like, I don't know, I guess when I graduated from college, I don't remember like someone saying, and another option is you could start your own business. I don't remember that.
Listen, you're not that old, but I tell the story all the time. If I'd have told my parents that I was majoring in entrepreneurship, they'd have sent for me to come home.
Yeah.
It was not a thing back in my day. Mm-hmm. So, but yes.
Well, I think that's part of the fallacy and why it's so great that there are these curriculums and programs focused on entrepreneurship. And the fallacy being that you don't need to go to school to learn how to like be, just go do that then. And it's like, no. We've worked with plenty of small businesses that, have been in business for a long time. And had they just had some of those proper, just basic courses in how to run a business and the realities of running a business and the things that your program does, it's like that, it's invaluable. So valuable to have some of that baseline. Right. And then you get to be the entrepreneur. But, I love to see how many young entrepreneurs there are. And I talked about a little bit on stage. I love to see how, for young entrepreneurs, having social good is just a core competency. They don't have to be told to do something good with their business. They are building goodness into the business model and thinking of the social impact that they can have as an entrepreneur in a way that I think some of the older generations, both on the corporate and small business side, are having to catch up to. So it's... I'm just really encouraged by, I don't know, who's going to go work at the big companies? I think everyone's starting a business now out of school.
Yeah, well, that, you're right. There may be a little struggle there. But even some of the bigger companies, I think, are fostering this idea that, you can even come to work for us. There's opportunities for entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. and we develop new products and new systems and operations. So, I think you're right. I think there is definitely a move with the younger generation today to encourage and kind of bake this into the whole process, this entrepreneurship. So, tell us again a little bit about, I think you talked about your own, you mentioned in your presentation about your daughter starting a small business. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do we kind of, ingrain this with our children? How do we start that conversation about owning your own business?
Well, I think it's talking about it real upfront when you're going to visit a business. Like, hey, look, this woman owns this coffee shop. What do you think she thinks about in the morning? That's right. Interesting, right? And kind of like really showing them the small businesses, A, that you're supporting, but B, kind of put that into context. Two, I think, my daughter likes and is good at math, but she loves math so much when we're putting it in the context of a business. Like when I was teaching her about, she's making these pencils with these custom-made pencil grips that she makes out of these rubber band things. It was so fun talking to her about kind of like the concept of cost of goods. Okay, like how much do the pencils cost you? How much do these bands cost you? Now let's talk about your labor. How long does it take you to make it? 5 minutes and 23 seconds, by the way, per pencil, she's told me. Okay, so she's figured that out. How much are you going to pay your father and I in rent of your, of your home office?
That's an important one.
Right? Yes. Now we're seeing it as a business opportunity, my husband and I. No, I'm just kidding. But just like teaching her the concept of it. These are all like principles that like if it was just on a piece of paper for math class, she'd be like, ugh. But in the context of something like that, it's real fun. But, I mean, you wouldn't be surprised, but people would be surprised by how many small businesses haven't done that math themselves. How many we work with where they don't, they only think of cost of goods as the cost. They don't think about overhead. They don't think about opportunity costs. They don't think about any of those other things. And so, I don't know. I think, yeah, I just think kids kind of inherently get it and want to do something like that. And entrepreneurship isn't for everyone. But I think we all can name a kid in our life where you're like, yeah, I could see them doing their own thing.
Yes. Right.
And definitely. That's my daughter.
Yeah. Where are you located? Where do you base? Where's your base camp for all this
Minneapolis,
work you do?
Minnesota.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. And I saw that you you sit on the Women's Economic Roundtable up there, as well as I think it was the Chicago Women's Board.
Yes.
Business Development Center.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. What kind of experiences are you seeing with, you know, women entrepreneurs out there?
Yeah, I think, well, I love both of those organizations because I think that, just like we were talking about earlier, having camaraderie and spending time with peers, I think it's so important. I think really investing in all entrepreneurs with resources, but specifically sometimes marginalized groups. And so women maybe haven't had the same encouragement to be entrepreneurs. They maybe haven't had the same access to capital. We're specifically seeing that with our women entrepreneurs of color. And so I think for me, if I can spend any time sharing insights or giving back in any way or just supporting or just being a listening ear and an encourager to women entrepreneurs, then I think that's it's a blessing to me to be able to kind of, spend time with them and encourage them to keep going.
Right. I love that.
So, and you do make an excellent point with women-owned business. There has been some inequities there in capital access. Mm-hmm. We work very closely with our Women's Business Center down along the Treasure Coast, and each time we go out together and make presentations, you know, they're always talking about the good old days when a woman had to have a co-signer to get a business loan.
Oh, wow.
We appreciate the work you're doing with those kinds of groups. So where is Amanda Brinkman and the Small Business Revolution going from here?
We'll see. So this year we're focused on, we're based in Minneapolis. As I mentioned, Minneapolis is kind of the epicenter of kind of the social reckoning we see the country going through, specifically around racial injustice. And so we're actually bringing the Small Business Revolution back home to Minneapolis and St. Paul. And instead of focusing on one main street in a small town, we're focused on six different neighborhoods across the Twin Cities. And we're featuring all Black-owned businesses and entrepreneurs. And so I share that as context around what's next in terms of that's what we're doing for season six, and that'll launch in the fall. Oh, yeah. But also when I think about kind of what's around that corner, I think, you know, we always like to evolve it. So we'll see. It's been extremely rewarding this season. And so I think we just always want to use this platform to advocate for something even bigger. We felt good enough that we were helping small businesses and communities survive and thrive and succeed. But this year, it just has a whole different level of meaning to all of us and using our skills for good to create equity and equality in the entrepreneurship space and celebrate the incredible Black-owned businesses we have in Minneapolis, St. Paul. That's not what you're seeing on the news about Minneapolis in the last year. Changing that narrative is really important to us, too.
I guess in closing, Amanda, you know, there's, I try not to get too corny along the way with all these things or use these old, you know, tired phrases. But, you know, so often we hear people say, you know, small business is the backbone, you know, of America. I mean, you're obviously out there in the trenches with small business every day. Tell us, how much truth is there in that statement? I mean, do you really see it? I mean, really the backbone of our economy and where we're headed?
I do. I've, the other phrase that I like that's similar is that this country was built on the backs of small businesses. And I suppose they're similar. One's more like current state posturing versus historical. But I do see it. I do see it. And I think, again, I think we're all recognizing that coming out of this past year, that the businesses that we were scared for were the ones that we knew we should be supporting, but all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, like I have got to go support that coffee shop. They cannot close. This is why I live in this neighborhood, or that's one of my favorite places to go. And so I do think that they are the backbone in many ways. One, we see the economic data. We see the job creation. We see the employment stats. We know how much small businesses give back to the community and how little, except for this past year, they had to draw from the government in terms of support. But then we also just see how they're the backbone culturally to our communities and our neighborhoods, and there's just something invaluable about that.
Okay.
Anyway. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna. So that's it. That's it. I'm gonna believe in that statement forevermore now.
I love it.
Amanda has confirmed it for me. Listen, Amanda, incredible work, and thank you so much for making the trip to Florida and participating in this this really great conference. I'm like you. I love that someone is celebrating small business in our state. I love the fact that we gather as small businesses, and to my opening point, this is about time to work on the business. Mm-hmm. So we right. appreciate you being a leader in that and supporting the whole the backbone of America's economy. So
well,
we appreciate that.
Thank you. This has been a fun discussion.
All right. So one as we close one more time, how do we find the Small Business Revolution?
Oh, thank you for asking. Okay, you can catch all the past 5 seasons on Hulu, Prime Video, or if people don't have those platforms, for free at smallbusinessrevolution.org or sbr.org. And then I would love for folks to follow me in social media. I'm at Amanda K. Brinkman on Instagram, and that's my public Facebook page, as well as my Twitter handle.
So here's what I recommend. I recommend you support a small business, a small pizza place, or a small chicken wing. You go buy some pizza and chicken wings, and you binge watch Small Business Revolution.
I love it. Stop by a local craft brewery on the way home, too, and get a growler.
Yes.
Just so, you know, right. just round it out. I love it. That's a great suggestion, Tom.
Yes, good okay. night.
Yes, yes. That's
I'm
right.
excited.
Thank you.
So that'll do it for this episode and a segment of Small Biz Florida coming to you from the Small Business Leadership Conference right here at the beautiful JW Marriott in Orlando, Florida, brought to you by the Jim Moran Institute. And I haven't been mentioning, but I now that I've remembered, I will say it. This conference is also sponsored by the Florida SBDC Network, which we are part of here at Indian River State College. So with that, Amanda, thank you so much. Katie, thanks for all your work in putting all these shows together. And with that, you know, stay with us. More to come.
This has been Small Biz Florida, created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.